Good evening. Before I speak tonight, I want to say on behalf of my wife and I, we're very grateful for the family of God, the church family, the prayers, intercessory prayers, and cards and letters that have come from you folks. We can never thank God enough for His great intercessory answers to prayer. And I know today that we can also add that Romans 8 and 28 comes into play because, first of all, my wife, when she went in for surgery, we didn't know how it would work out. And midway of the surgery, I got a call when I was out in the hall from the associate surgeon. And at the conclusion, they called me and said, "All is well." Said, "Your wife had some problems from birth that we also corrected." I'm happy to tell you that when she stands up now, and there's not a dizziness like was before. And I thank God for so much. But today I thank God especially because almost 49 years has taken place in our life as being married. And those years, it's been precious. And I thank God for your prayers for her. I'm so happy to share with you tonight. I feel privileged. This message comes from John chapter 7 and verse 46. I've entitled this message, "Christ the Great Communicator." Just for Danny May, no one else, of course. I want to let him know that I'm aware about the little boy that went up with his daddy to the pulpit holding his hand. His dad was a pastor. He said, "Dad, what were you speaking about this morning?" He said, "About 20 minutes. All my life, even in school, in public speaking classes, I never heard as much about Jesus Christ, and I've never heard much about, few students have ever spoken much about studying Christ's method of delivery. And that's why I really enjoy this message, because you see, what I'm thinking about speaking, I don't think about Demosthenes, who is thought of as the greatest orator of all time. I don't think of Socrates. I don't think of Winston Churchill, although I've enjoyed him. John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan, many others. In fact, many people have talked about Dale Carnegie, how that he has taught so many classes, but he was not really a great speaker. He was actually a great teacher in regards to speaking. But I want to say that regardless of the comparatively small number of students that have studied Christ's delivery in giving forth the message of the gospel, the supreme element in which Christ spoke was that of authoritativeness. And his message was clear. His message was definite. His message was of vital importance. It carried the weight of eternity behind it. And any time that you speak about eternal things, I want to listen. I'm interested. I must tell you that he spake on having authority. He spoke not only of having authority, he spoke not as the scribes did. He spoke with a sincere heart. I want to let you know tonight that, first of all, let's look at the Christ, the supreme model. And I want us to look at those to whom he addressed. He was intimate, first of all, with their weaknesses and their shortcomings. And I find out that any time that we are speaking with someone, we need to know who we're speaking to. We need to know about them and have a concern about them. It's impossible to help somebody until you know who they are. It's hard to address anyone unless you know a little bit about them. You can say good morning or good evening. You can say yes, sir, and hello, have a good day. But I'll tell you, until you actually know that person and get to know them, you cannot communicate properly. In order for communication to take place, there must be first a communicator and then a communicatee. And when I look at the Word of God, I'm pleased to be the communicatee because I know Him as a communicator. I think of Christ as one that, when I was in Vietnam, He spoke to me. And many times in the night hour, in the early morning hour, I knew Him as one of a consoler, one of a comforter, one that knew how to love. As I read 1 John chapter 4, I study it many times about His great love. I must tell you that there is none like Jesus Christ. None. He made no apology or spoke with no uncertainty. All through the Gospels, I find that He spoke very clear, very distinct. His message was pulsating with reality. He addressed those He spoke with absolute certainty and truthfulness. You know, today, when I look at the pages of this blessed book, the Bible, all through especially the New Testament, and I love the Old Testament, but all through the New Testament, I notice the character of His life. You know, someone said character is what you are in the dark. I believe character has a lot to do with how we function with other people. He had perfect assurance arising from the fact that He not only knew the truth, but was the truth. Therefore, the effectiveness of Christ speaking lay in the fact that He spoke not because He had to say something, but rather because He spoke, He had something to say. You know, I love that. Substance means a lot to me. And when someone speaks to me and they share something of special substance, I listen. My mother, she always spoke of substance when she said, come eat. I listened. I was the baby of the family of four siblings. And I was the brother that was next to me was 9 and a half years older. So when she gave brownies or cooked special pies or cakes, I didn't have to fuss or argue with him because he was bigger. But I always said, if you don't want it, I'll be glad to take it. I must tell you today that we need to examine the secrets of His power. And I really believe that with all my heart. The secrets of His power was this. His character was nothing less than of the highest quality. His message was urgent and insistent. The world's salvation depended upon it, and it still does, my friend. I can tell you this, that never in my life have I ever seen a day when salvation is so important. When I see serving God and knowing Him and understanding that He loves us so much and He wants fellowship with us. He possessed a combination of three things. Number one, He especially possessed that of sympathy and compassion. We might be able to say that He had a pastor's heart. And let me stop and just say, we have a wonderful pastor. A pastor who has a heart of gold. He cares. And it doesn't matter whether he's in Tanzania tonight or where. It doesn't matter. His heart is here at this church. He knows that. I know that. And I know that when we're away, and when I heard that you were praying, and my wife heard you were praying for her, it stirred me. We got cards and letters from people all over the United States. We got some people that are in the Philippines that heard about it, and they let us know. And I told her the first night, right before surgery, I said, honey, I must tell you, with prayer going up, a God loves us as much as He does, I said, we can't lose. You are going through this in good fashion. The next morning, just prior to surgery, the neurosurgeon came by and he said, in case you're concerned, I've done over 1,500 of these surgeries. That didn't hurt anything. I was glad he didn't say it was his first. Another thing that Christ possessed as a speaker is He was confident of a divine mission that He was carrying forth. I have no doubt that when He was in the garden and He said to His heavenly Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But then He said quickly, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I have no problem with that because I know He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line for you and I. He's there waiting confidently every day, every hour to help us, to guide us, to listen to our cry. He showed directness or eye contact in His manner of delivery. You know, I had a young man ask me, call me on the phone about 3 or 4 years ago, and I was just getting ready to leave, and he said, could I have about 5 minutes of your time? And I said, well, I don't know where you're located, but I have to leave quickly to be at an appointment. And he said, well, I'm only about a mile down the road, and if you'll just give me about 5 minutes, I'd appreciate it. And so I said, I will. I'll meet you in the driveway. I drove my car out of the garage, and this young man came up in his car. He got out, and it bothered me because instead of looking at me straight in the eye and talking, he had his little iPhone, and he was going like this. And I knew time was of essence, and I don't usually do things like this, but I reached over and grabbed it out of his hand. And I said, excuse me, could you look at me in the eye and speak, because I don't have long. He said, I'm sorry. Of course, I held on to the phone till the conversation was over, and I returned it. And at that time, I was glad I did. When he left, and I left, I went down the road thinking, how many people are like that today? They call it multitasking. But really what it is just a lack of thinking about respect and communication. You're looking at a fellow that's military all the way, and so you understand that I believe in looking at people right in the eye. And that's why I'm looking at you tonight. I'm not the Christ of Calvary speaking, but I'm a representative of His. And I must tell you today, I want to represent Him well, because I'm concerned of one thing. You and I getting the message that we might know that He's our Lord, He's our Master, He's our soon coming King. And one of these moments, He's going to catch us away in the twinkling of an eye. One of my messages that I always give to people, especially a lady that just about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and this was not my wife, but it was another hospital, quite a ways away. She had cancer, and she knew it was short time. And I said, let me leave these two verses with you. And I gave her the verse out of 2 John, verse 13, and 3 John, verse 12. They're both alike. And they say, I would not write with paper and ink, but I wish to come face to face, that our joy may be full. Isn't that wonderful? And when I told her that, she smiled. And I said, you and I are both looking for that moment when we'll see Him face to face. The Gospels, they say nothing definitely about the voice of Christ. We don't hear anything about the voice of Christ, whether it was bass or treble, tenor, no. But He spoke basically, well, I'll say this. The Bible tells us that He was a perfect man as well as a perfect God. And I believe He had a perfect voice. I believe that He had a perfect body. And I believe that everything He did was perfect. And I believe that when He spoke, no one had trouble listening. He spoke principally on a subject which interested His hearers, the kingdom of God. I'm going to be speaking a little bit about that in just a moment. But the kingdom of God simply means this. It means the authority of God. It means heaven. It means His being there with us. It means the church. You see, when you think about the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, He's saying to us, He said, I want you to know that the kingdom is within you. In other words, the church is ever present. Amen? I love that. Christ, He spoke also of an erring generation and perverted priesthood. I must tell you tonight that Christ entered dealing with two schools of religion, namely those of the priest and then those of the legalist, which you and I know as the Pharisees. Christ entered with no relations, though, with the priest or with the priest. And the reason I say that is because there was only 2 or 3 times that He actually mentioned them. And one reason he did not speak to the priest a lot, because he said nothing in commendation of them, or approval of their ideals, or acceptance of their religious views. He was absorbed in selfish, or they were absorbed in selfish worldliness. They were absorbed in ritualism with their insincerity, where it had emptied of its original subordinate significance. I can tell you today that the priest, the whole body of priests, basically were Sadducees who had become unspiritual skeptics and worshipers of mammon. Jesus thought nothing of their pretensions or of their system. He only made reference to an allusion to the high priest Abiathar, who gave the showbread to a time of David when he was in hunger. And scarcely mentioned priest at all. And one other time he mentioned about the priest that was on his way to perform his ritual functions, I guess, and he went by a wayward, needy person on the road. And he went by that wounded wayfarer, stranger, and he left him alone. And Christ mentioned that in a cold-hearted way, of course. But then he said nothing also, except one other time he mentioned about the lepers, the 10 lepers that were cleansed. And he told him, he said, I want you to go to the priests, and I want you to get the legal paperwork or certificates that's needed. And that was the only times basically that he mentioned them. But I must say to you that he had no connection with the essential truths which he came to reveal that they were unlike him in. And then the more numerous predominant party, that was that of the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they delighted in an outward works of, the ablutions and town hand washings and the washing of cups and platters and brazen vessels and plates, or the tables rather. The Pharisees were into formal fastings and different things, feasts. But Christ, he did not practice any of these formal fasts, and he even discouraged his disciples from doing so. He taught holiness and faith and love. And rather than formal prayers, vain repetitions and stereotyped rituals and artificial phrases, I learned when I was about 8 or 9 years of age, I remember learning from my Sunday school teacher something that, well, he taught things in a way that you could pick up on real quickly. And I remember him saying, let me tell you about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And I thought, what's he talking about? And he said, well, you see, the Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection, but they didn't practice it. So they were only fair, you see. And he said, the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection, so they were really sad, you see. And so I picked up on that, and I carried that right with me in life. It's those little things that I remember. I remembered they also taught me that there were 39 books in the Old Testament, and 3 times 9 is 27. So that's how many was in the New Testament. And I could tell you many, many things like that, but I won't, because I'm still working on that 20 minutes. I must tell you that the next thing that I want to speak to you tonight on about Christ, and that was his Sermon on the Mount. I'll never be able to do justice in just a couple minutes like Pastor Shipe did, but I will tell you this, that Christ does not one time does he use the words probably or perhaps. He spoke like this, I say unto you, come, follow me, do this or do that. I like that. I don't like that, well, probably, perhaps, maybe, peradventure, you know, just keep on going. Christ is one that speaks very clear. He goes on to say, beware of false prophets. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. I like to think of that rock as the rock of ages. O rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Thank God. Great song, wonderful to enjoy singing. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things. But then he spoke another side of the coin, the flip side of the coin. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I love the parables. I love them because they were easy to learn. He illustrated well when he spoke of them. And I must tell you today, God's still speaking very clear to each of us. All we need to do is listen. Can you say amen? All through this New Testament, all through the Gospels, I hear words like this from our Lord. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly, John 10:10. And then in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's that kingdom of God again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, what about all these things? I don't want to get into that deep, but I can tell you this. He's talking about as we trust him and seek his will, we're going to get spiritual things that's going to help us. He's not talking about any of the monetary materialism that we spend time on and thinking about. He says not to think about that which is laid up, treasures of gold and of silver and of rust and all. He says, I want you to take and make sure that your eyes are upon me and upon the Lord. Follow me. And then Matthew 7:12, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Then he speaks Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many is glad that he spoke that to you? Isn't that wonderful? And he's still giving us that rest, that peace that passeth all understanding, that's able to keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus each day. Matthew 12:30. He that is not with me is against me. That's a no-brainer. I like that. I've often said, Lord, I'm with you. I'm with you till the end. Because you are the beginning and the end. You are the way, the truth, and the life. I don't have to worry about understanding our Lord. I don't. When I was in the military, I made a mistake. I know I'm from the volunteer state of Tennessee, but I sure didn't need to do it at this time. One of the sergeants up there said, in front of us, if 2 or 3 days after we had got, just starting in basic training, he said, "How many loves basketball?" Boy, dummy me, I lifted my hand. He said, you bounce yourself right up here to me then. In other words, he was saying, I'm going to give you a detail. But when I volunteered for the Lord, I'd volunteered because He had already gone to the cross. He had purchased everything that I needed. And I know one thing, when I took His hand, I let Him lead me, and I've never been sorry since. Matthew 26 and 41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Another good reason why we need to follow the Lord. Matthew 24 and 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Oh, I love that. You know, I see these beautiful mountains throughout central Pennsylvania. I love them. I enjoy it. You that know me, I like to ride a motorcycle. And when I ride it up through those mountains, around those hills, I look at them and I thrill. I see the cattle. I see these barns and these silos. And I've got pictures of this. And I say, this is Pennsylvania. I must tell you, it's so important to know that we today need to understand that we can ask. Because Matthew 7 and 7 said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Luke 9 and 62, "No man having put his plow or hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." What is he talking about here in this kingdom of God business again? He's talking about the church or the bride. He's talking about that fact that we're going to be with Him for all eternity. But we don't have any business looking to go with Him and be with Him if we're turning around looking back. We don't need to look back. He says, look forward. "If you love me, keep my commandments," John 14 and 15. How many of you have ever heard of John 3 and 16? Let us quote it together. Amen? How do we start that? What? For God, what? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, that thrills me. I believe that you're dying from the minute you're born. I believe that you're living from the minute you're born again. And I believe you'll never die as long as you are in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us in Luke 12 and 15, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And I believe that, don't you? God's blessed us with a lot of things. But I can tell you today, materialism doesn't mean a thing to me. Someone asked me one time, he said, "I like your house." I said, "You have never seen it." You know what I'm talking about. He said, "You've never seen it." And I said, "It's a home. It's not a house." I said, what you see is earthen. Where I'm going, praise God, it's going to be better than anything you and I could ever imagine. Oh, hallelujah. I love it. Luke 17 and 21, the kingdom of God, there it is again, is within you. I believe that. Every time I get to get excited, I start thinking, well, why am I getting excited? Because I'm getting excited. I'm a member of the church. I'm excited because God is He is this, and I'm going to be with Him for all eternity. Mark 8:36 says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then John 12:32 says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This book is my tool chest. I know how to use it. I must tell you this. I'm not one of those kind of people that when I need a hammer, I get a pipe wrench. I'm not one of those people that believe that any saw works. Because I've seen a few places when a regular hand saw didn't work. How about it? But I can tell you this. That every time that I look in this book, I know why it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'm thrilled today to stand before you and say, I'm ready to go. I know my bags are packed. My destiny's prepared. There's a home that's built for me. And it's because I heard the words spoken of our lovely Lord that simply said it this way. He said, I speak that you might hear. Let's remember to listen. God is everything we could ever hope to be. I'm going to ask you to do something, if you would, for me. I just wondered, Brother Russell, would you come to the piano just a moment? I'm not going to take any time. I just want to ask you to do one favor. Would you stand with me and just sing that chorus with me? He's all I need. You can come and lead it, brother. I'm fine. No.
He's all I need. He's all I need. He's all
I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. He's all. Jesus is all I need.
Amen. Isn't that true? And just remain standing. We'll go ahead and sing our closing song. This is My Father's World, just the first verse and chorus.